God is holy. He's without sin. There's no one like him. He's other. He's in a class all by himself. And the song that the angels sing in heaven around the throne is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And it's good and right that we see him that way. And it causes us, when we reflect on who he is and what he's done, I hope gratitude bubbles up in your heart, a sense of gladness, a sense of wonder. And we're going to be getting into the Psalms in a moment. One way to remember worship, it's acknowledging the attributes of God, who he is, and the activities of God, what he's done. And you know, just looking out over the audience, I'm so glad to see each of you, grateful for you. It's all I can do, that not just give you all a bear hug. And some of y'all know, I think I may be feeling a cold, God willing it's not, but I'm just glad to be with you. And lots of things. I just want to testify for a moment. That song we sang, Agnus Dei, I remember the first time hearing it. I was in Uganda in 2005. And the place we were in, it was close to 3,000 people in that room. And they were singing this song. And it was just thunderous. And some people walked miles to hear the word. Some people didn't have shoes, some did. But it just reminds me that the Bible says, you can read it in Revelation, that there'll be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping the Lord. So what we just did, and I hope you're still doing it in your heart, we join in worship across the kingdom of the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, he's wonderful. Just glad to be here, grateful for the church family. Something just want to be mindful of for your own studies. Prayer, as well as really worship, has elements to it. ACTS is an acrostic for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. So oftentimes in worship, attributes, activities, that adoration is having studied the scripture and actually seeing his work in creation. There's an adoration part. There's a sense of, wow, look at who you are, God. And then as we reflect on who he is, inevitably it'll remind us of who we are too. Like Isaiah 6, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne, chained of his robe, filled the temple with glory. When Isaiah reflected on the holiness of God, he said, "Woe is me, I'm unclean. You're like that, but I'm not." And if you read Isaiah 6, the good Lord sent for an angel and symbolically a coal to his lips, cleansed him. The Bible teaches us that we have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So a part of worship is confession. Psalm 51, David said, "Create me a clean heart and a right spirit." And we're grateful that through the cross, we have the opportunity to agree with what God said and believe that he sent Christ into the world to save sinners. So some aspects of worship and prayer and praise may include confession, and we'll see that in Psalm 40. But then there's Thanksgiving, and not just the holiday, but a sense that we have things that we can reflect on and say, "Thank you, Lord, for that, for this, for that, the other." And I hope that you have just a long list of things that when you're going through your toughest days, which we all will, you can look back and say, "You know, I thank the Lord for this and this and this and this." All these things pointed to Jesus. It's good. In fact, try that out sometime. If you're going through a hard time, just write a list of all the things that you can see is from the Lord. Thank him for himself. Thank you for the cross. Maybe thank you for church family, food, shelter, clothing, a place to work, a community. Just list all of those things down and then sit with the Lord and tell him thank you directly yourself. Thank you, Lord, for mom, for pop, for auntie, uncle, for you know, Deacon Crump. You know, go down the list of folks you give thanks and you will get yourself happy just by thanksgiving. But then a part of worship is supplication. And we'll see this in Psalm 40 in a moment. Supplication is just kind of a long way of saying that you're asking sincerely for help. You're going to God, I need you to help me in these areas of my life or what I'm facing or what I'm dealing with or others around me. And the Lord invites us to ask, because it shall be given, seek shall be found, knock and the doors will be open. So those are just a few notes on worship before we dive in. I want to pause for a moment. The worshiper that we read about in the Bible was David, who was a warrior. David knew how to fight. He knew how to wage war, but he also knew how to worship. And it's fitting as we honor and reflect on Memorial Day. I just want to share briefly that we have been blessed with the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Those sailors lost at sea, airmen and women who their planes were downed in the process of defense of the country, soldiers who fell in battle. So if we could for a moment, let's thank God for those men and women. You may even have someone in your family that served in that way. And let's thank God for them, okay? And then we'll dive into Psalm 40. You can give a hand clap. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I just feel led to mention this. If you in your time have time to volunteer for like veterans homes or VA hospital, sit with some of those folks and hear their stories. It is amazing. And some of them who are in Christ can say, yeah, I remember when this happened and it had to be the Lord to get me out of it. A gentleman, I'll just say his first name, Robert, who fought during World War II. I said, what was it like to be on those bombers? And he said, you know, we were a bunch of kids. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was 22 and I was a gunner. The pilot was like 27 and he was the oldest in the group. The other guy on the other gun, he was like 24. And they're all between the ages of like 20 and 27 kids. And he's like, you know, Charles, it was something. Those bombs are going off. And he's describing the planes that traveled with them and so forth. And they part of their task was to liberate those camps. And part of what he did when he was on the ground was helped in those efforts to get people out of concentration camps. One thing he did share, and I'll never forget, his plane got shot down. And he said, and he's sharing his story. He says, I remember when our plane got hit and we all were ejecting. And as we were coming down, he said, I think it's Geneva Conventions, you're not supposed to shoot at people parachuting. That's a war crime. He said, but the guys, the enemy was shooting at him. And he remembers as he's coming down, bullets coming up, and he got hit a few times in his leg. And then he said he blacked out. And he said, Charles, I remember them capturing me, roughing me up, and then for the next 2 years, he said, it's like, I don't mind. I got four kids, so it's all good. I don't mind. I could preach. So just know that y'all always welcome when your kids in here with me. He said that he blacked out, and he woke up like 2 years later. And he remembers flashes of being in prison. But he just, a lot of it, because of what he went through, it's like mentally he was gone. But what he did know was that the Lord brought him through it. So for men like Robert and women and others who served our country, and those who certainly who've served here who are still with us, we're thankful for you, your acts of service. We want to remember those who paid that ultimate sacrifice. Let's pray. God, we thank you that all around the world you have your people, and including here in the United States of America, we thank you for the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice. May their sacrifice be remembered in light of your great sacrifice, so that we might be servants in your kingdom, sharing your light and truth wherever we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 40. This is a Psalm of David. And as you're turning there, Psalms, this is the hymn book of Israel. These songs were sung. And so David was one of the psalm writers. And if you read David's story, he was a warrior indeed. David could fight. And we see David reflecting on God's past deliverances and rescues in this psalm. He's going to talk about and give praise to God for the things he brought him through, which we are invited to reflect on the same. Has God brought you through some things? And then simultaneously in the psalm, you're going to see David trust God for future hope. That, yeah, I'm facing these challenges. Yeah, I'm facing these things. But I am putting my hope in God so that he will bring me out. Because if he did it over here, he's able to do it over here. Amen? So I'm going to read through this and keep me in prayer because I forgot my glasses. We're going to do it. But this is a near and dear psalm to me. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of a miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth. There it is. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, and your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh, my God, your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of the righteous in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. Oh, Lord, you know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Verse 11. Now, here's where the pivot from past reflection and confidence and praise of what God has done to future hope and what he will do. Verse 11 begins at this point. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head. And my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. David, who by the Holy Spirit receives these words, gives a praise to God for past salvation, past deliverances, things that he has done, that is the Lord, to rescue him. And as I shared also, he gives what would be called a prayer or even a lament about troubles that he is facing while simultaneously being confident that the Lord will bring him out of it and that he can hope in him. And if we start off looking at the first one or two verses, this is a wonderful picture. He says that I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and heard my cry. Now, there are a lot of ways to go through troubles. There's one thing to go through troubles and grit and bear it, and it's another thing to go through it with anticipation. I believe God's going to help me. I'm eagerly leaning forward because I'm calling out for help. Now, notice that David, who was a king and a warrior and beat Goliath, I think it's pretty clear, but we ought to say it anyway, that sometimes following the Lord, you will fall into trouble. Let me make it plain, being a Christian doesn't mean you will not have challenges in life. David was a godly man, a good man, but he faced troubles. And a harder thing to also talk about, even as we walk through this text, sometimes those troubles come to you whether you ask for them or not. And on top of that, sometimes, and I don't know if I could get a witness up in here, we may bring those problems on ourselves. All right, praise the Lord for those honest folks out there. But notice that this same God, L-O-R-D, he is faithful. This is the covenant name of God. So who David is calling out to is the one that you and I can depend upon. So David shares with us that he waited patiently, eagerly for the Lord to listen to him calling for help. I hope that encourages you. David cried out to God for help, and the Lord heard him. I know many of you are parents in here, and you may remember when your kids are playing and fussing and fighting, but when they would cry out in a certain way, you're like, oh, this is serious. You would get up and you're right there. David, who is by the Holy Spirit recounting an experience in his life where he waited eagerly for the Lord, and the Lord, he heard him and was inclined to listen. May I ask you, have you faced a time in your life where you called out to the Lord for help and he heard you? And I hope that makes you glad. King David says he inclined and heard my cry. That means that we're not just talking into the air. Part of sharing the psalm, my prayer is for you and for me to be grounded in faith in God through Jesus Christ. Because of the cross, you have a God who hears and answers prayer. And that's so wonderful. He hears us when we're going through a tough time. He hears us when you're at the doctor's office. He hears us when you're raising your children or having a difficult time in your family. Because of the righteousness of Christ, he hears us. David said, he heard my cry, and he brought me up out of a pit of destruction, out of a miry clay. You know, I'm a 70s kid, I remember watching Star Trek, and they go on these planets, and Captain Kirk would fall into quicksand or something, and Scotty and somebody would reach in and pull him up, you know, and always whenever they, maybe Fantasy Island, quicksand was just this miry thing that you're just going down, down, down. Well, the words that are used here, It's muck and mire, it's enveloping, and if something doesn't happen, at least physically, you're going to die. Now, whether it be physical or even spiritual, are there times in people's lives where you are going down? Where the troubles seem to almost envelop you and suffocate you? David, by the Spirit, gives these words that I was waiting for the Lord, I was calling him, and I was reaching out, and as I was going down, 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 my God reached down and got a hold of me. Picked me up out of a pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock. It is a wonderful thing to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of my best friends, we've been through some hard things, but they love the Lord. Oh, and they could say, I remember when I was doing this, that, in the streets, and then one day I heard a preacher, and I turned to Jesus Christ. And those same people that were in the slime and the pits of life have been brought up, dusted off, cleaned up, and are trophies for Jesus. To go from instability and muck and mire to be firm, that's what the world needs. The world needs Jesus. Anyone who hears my words and does them, that one will be like the one that builds their house on a rock. King David is recounting back when the Lord rescued him, set him on a rock, making my footsteps firm. Notice the hero of the story. He's saying, this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did. And my tradition that I grew up in, and Baptist churches, sometimes Pentecostal, and if you follow me on Facebook, I was up in Sacramento area. Sometimes in testimonial services, people recount what the Lord did for them. And if nobody else got it, that person said, yep, this is what the Lord did for me. David is testifying to God's goodness. Verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust the Lord. As a result of this great rescue that the Lord has done in the past, David is saying this is something that will beckon people to worship and have reverence for God. Many times we don't want to go through troubles, but when we go through it and the Lord brings us through it, it is an opportunity for people to see God's power in you and me. And he says, well, many see and fear. It's not fear like run away. It's, whoa, only the Lord can do that. And there's a healthy respect and reverence for God. Wow, this is God's work. During a service, there was a song sung just recently. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. And the young lady that was singing it in the choir, it was very moving. And as I was praying and looking out over the place, you could see people moved by the words of Scripture, and there was something going on in the person's heart. That's God's domain. I can be up here all day blabbing, but what thus saith the Lord does by the Spirit, my words are nothing can be compared to the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. I hope you're tracking what I'm saying. And later on, a good man, good friend reached out. He said, hey, can I talk to you? And he was facing some challenges and facing really being mistreated. But as he was sharing things, it became clear that the Word of God was working in him in a way that he was pondering, how can I make a right decision in the face of being mistreated? Why am I bringing this up? David is recounting the Lord's goodness to him. And as I share about my friend, it just seemed evident that this gentleman, in light of God's good work in his life, he didn't want to respond evil for evil. I couldn't have did that. That was the Lord. Amen. Verse 3 talks about a new song in my mouth, a praise to our God, many will see and fear. In old times, and you even see this in the Bible, when the Egyptians were swallowed up by the waters, sometimes when God would rescue his people, they would break out with a praise and a song of victory. They went out with tambourines in the Old Testament times. And so oftentimes a new song was to mark a deliverance or a rescue or something that the Lord had done in the past that we can recall and give thanks for. Similarly, David says, I will sing a new song. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Can you think of things maybe in the last year or 2 years that you can recount and say, the Lord did that for me and mine? You may want to write that down. You may want to reflect on it. You may want to give thanks. David continues, how blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, has not turned aside to the proud, nor lapsed into falsehood. So David is contrasting the blessed or the happy life in trusting God as opposed to turning to man or to the proud or the idols of this world. And there's a bit of a word there, Rahab, relating to a monstrous creature, but just symbolic of anything other than God pretending to be God. He praises the Lord. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which you have done, your thoughts towards us, there's none to compare. But look with me at verse 6. As he's praising God for what has happened in the past, he reflects on the matters of the heart. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened, or your scriptures may say pierced, or dug out. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of this book that is written of me. I delight to do your will. O my God, your law is within my heart. not outward performances of righteousness, but an inner inclination to obey God from the heart is what he requires. David is saying that in light of his great work, he's opened up his ear to hear him and to obey him. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, sacrificial offerings were rituals that were required to go before God for forgiveness. David is also extolling here that even beyond sacrifice, obedience or a delight to do the will of God. You could recall the Lord rebuking Saul. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So in light of what all that he has done, isn't it good to obey the Lord from a sense of gratitude, appreciation, certainly reverence and awe, but a sense of, I will strive to obey you from the heart, as opposed to what the Pharisees did, which was performative. And we don't want to go through the motions of worship, but obey him from the heart. Verse 9 says, I proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Israel had the temple, and King David, along with many others, they would come up to the temple to worship. David is extolling the goodness of the Lord, and he's not holding it back. He's not ashamed to let people know this is what the Lord has done for me. And doesn't that give us some instruction too? We too, in Christ, in this present age, have an opportunity to make him known to others. I'm not saying be obnoxious or go around hitting people with the Bible, but sooner or later, someone may ask you, are you a Christian? What do you believe? Or I've heard this about the Bible. In those moments, you have a chance to let people know on whom you believed and that you're persuaded that he is able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Are you doing it? You can, and I can too. David pivots from past deliverances and rescues to future hope. Verse 11, you, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me, your loving kindness, and your truth will continually preserve me. David is extolling the Lord for who he is. In Scripture, the Lord often would introduce himself, I, the Lord your God, am compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding with mercy. So oftentimes he would show up and say, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am. And prophets would speak, and he would identify himself as being the covenant-keeping God with Israel who has compassion. That's love in action. Who's gracious? He gives to us when we don't deserve it. He's slow to anger. That means he has mercy. He holds back what we shouldn't get. And grace, he gives what we don't deserve. That sounds like a wonderful God. And David is praising God, and indeed he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these. He says, you're not withholding your compassion from me in the future, or your loving kindness, and your truth will continually preserve me. Verse 11, do you see how he is worshiping God for who he is? Based off of what he's done? And as I'm sharing this, this is not an intellectual exercise, but this same God has not changed. And he invites us into a relationship with him. When Jesus looked out on the crowds of people, he saw them and had compassion. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he's the same. I'm grateful for all the family I grew up around. And we had those favorite aunts and uncles and family in the church. And I'm thinking of one of the aunts. She was sweet in her own way, but whenever you went to her house, you couldn't sit in certain places. Now, a 70s kid, y'all remember that plastic covering? So there's that front room. Charles Jr., don't sit there. Charles Jr., don't sit there. Oh, you're just a slob. Well, I got to talk to your mother. And she was kind of mean. She might give me a cookie from time to time. I know she loved me, and I loved her too, but let's just say she wasn't too nice. God rest her soul. I'm not going to say names because family might be watching. They may know who I'm talking about too. And they'll be talking about me years later, you know. But then I had this one aunt who went to be with the Lord about 4 years ago. And I will say her name, my Aunt Della, my mom's only sister. My Aunt Della, just sweet. Been walking with Christ since she was in high school. And whenever I go over her house, she's like, Charles Jr. And with a big smile on her face, give me a hug, give me a kiss. How you doing, Charles? Sit down, come on, have something to eat. Blah, blah, blah. And just love on me. And I can't think of a time where she didn't greet me like that. Now, both of them love me, no doubt. But my Aunt Dell showed it regularly. Bible teaches us that God is compassionate. He has loving kindness. His truth preserves us. Having a conversation outside, do you see God doing that in your life? Providence is the care of God. And there's times where God is talking, but we're just not listening. And the more I reflect on the love of God in my life, I really get happy. Like, wow, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. That was the Lord. And may I just say frankly to each of you, you all, CBC is a reflection of the love of God in my life. I thank God for you. Really.
Thank you, brother.
Right back at you. Yeah. So this is so much about God. Now, as I go on in David's reflections, David was not perfect. I'm not perfect. And look at this, verse 12. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. David had enemies. Do you have people out for you? Maybe at work, maybe in the neighborhood, maybe people just hate Christians. David had some enemies. Sadly, even his son, Absalom, waged a rebellion against him. That was a hard time. But then David doesn't just talk about the enemies outside. He talks about the enemies that's in me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head. And my heart has failed me. I'm broken. Or like that commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up. David took another man's wife. That was wrong. We honor David's memory. It was evil. We see how God used David, but God said, you're going to have to pay for what you did. Now, if you were the family of Uriah the Hittite, you wouldn't really like David too much. And not only that, he numbered the people for war, which was really putting his hope in the armies that were with him, and God punished them even more severely than the Bathsheba incident. And you can read that for yourself. And the Lord said, hey, you're going to be punished for this. I'm going to give you three choices of how to pick. Bible study for you folks. And David said, you pick, God, because I'd rather fall into your hands than the hands of man. So David is being honest in this psalm with his enemies and also his sin. And so Psalms invite us to have a genuine relationship with God because he knows it all. He really does know it all. And the fact that he's still compassionate is amazing. We ought not take it for granted. We ought not take God's goodness for granted because he has wrath, he punishes, but he is gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. Your God loves you and loves you and loves you and loves you and showed it through his son, Jesus Christ. So David, even though his heart is almost failing, he can trust that God will answer his prayers in the future. Verse 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. David, who started off talking about waiting patiently, leaning in for the Lord, kind of like that kid waiting for Christmas. He's waiting patiently. Now David pivots and says, I need some help right now. Thank you for what you've done. I believe you and I rejoice. I'm waiting now for present help for present problems. Could you help me quickly? Because there's some things and people surrounding me that will rejoice in my demise. Jesus is amazing because he says something that the world doesn't say. He says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to them who hate you, and pray for them and spitefully use you so it'll keep burning coals on their head. God has a way of dealing with our enemies. And that burning coals is symbolic how the Holy Spirit can convict people of their wrongdoing. So when the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, it's right for us to do what David did. Dear Lord, help me. Help me and protect me against those who delight in my hurt and pain. I'm grateful to do the work that I do, and not just serving in the church, but in the hospital and other places in the community. I wish I could say that everybody in this world would love you. I remember being a little boy with a busted nose, and my mom said, Junior, not everybody's going to love you. It's not church out there in those streets. There are people in this society who delight in your pain. And they may very well be lost and need Jesus Christ. So David is pouring out his heart saying, rescue me and protect me from those who want to hurt me and are happy. Woohoo! David's going down. And may I be very honest with you, it's a wonder that God gives us the freedom to pray, please help me and fight that which is fighting me. Now, I'm not saying be vengeful and vindictive, but this is an imprecatory part of the Psalms where he's asking God for divine justice. But may I also remind you that he also confessed his own sin. So as we pray for justice, we ought to be mindful that they need mercy and we do too. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy. So if the Lord was one-to-one with all our sins, where would we be? Somebody said, hell. And yet David describes those who are delighting in his pain and asking the Lord to quickly help him. And isn't it interesting? Verse 15, let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. I did come with some dad jokes, but I'm on good behavior today. When we have relationship with one another, Bible says if your brother sins, go to them in private, a brother or sister, and if they listen to you, you've won your brother. But if they don't agree, take two. If they listen, you won your brother, and we're assuming sister. But if not, take it to the church. And if not, at that point, you break off, and that person is be treated as an unbeliever. Galatians talks about ye who are spiritual, restore such a one with meekness. When a brother or sister is overtaken a fault, do it with gentleness, considering yourself lest you too be tempted. So there's a sense where David is describing people who are happy about his folly and faults. We should not have a posture like that when others fall. Now, I must admit, as we're heading into an election season, that may be a challenge. But history will note some people have done certain things and were found out. Then the person that called them out did the same thing, too. Could you imagine if all of our sins were broadcast up on the screen as you walk inside the church? I'm just talking about the ones in your head, not the ones you actually did. We'd all be kind of blushing. All the different shades of pink and purple, you know. I'd be on the purple side. Yeah. So David is calling out for help, and I think we see the duality here, that in this psalm, yeah, there are some enemies, but he's asking God to deal with them. Did you catch that? And God has a way of righting the wrongs He can pick a switch that hits in the right way. I'm almost through. Verse 16. In contrast to those who rejoice in his pain, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, look at this, the Lord be magnified. In contrast to those who are enemies, he's saying everyone that is putting their heart and mind on the Lord and putting their hope in him, may they, from the abundance of their heart relationship to Christ, say he be magnified. This thing of glory, what captivates our hearts and minds for worship, is really kind of a dividing line. There are people who live for the glory of man. Me, 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 me. You know, my, mine. I have kids, I'll say that, but we used to watch Looney Tunes, and it was like, I'm Elmer J. Fudd, I own a mansion and a yacht. my, mine, go. It's me, me, me. That's the glory of man. And much of history would show that. The glory of Rome, the glory, you just name it, it's man-centered. And let someone be offended or hurt or any wrong done, then the reactions is rooted here. But on the other side, he said, let the Lord be magnified. The object of our worship is the Lord. Responding and looking to him. Will we have challenges? Yes. Will we have trials? Yes. Will we fall short? Yes. But through it all, it's a God-centeredness, a Christ-centeredness, where the focus really goes to him. Yeah, it really goes to him. And there's joy in that. Lastly, David is transparent. Verse 17, since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. So David is genuine. He's real. He says, I'm a needy person, but you're the one that will meet my need. So Lord, quickly help me. Quickly help me. So this psalm invites you and me into worship, and we're going to sing a song of worship shortly, again, Agnus Dei. And as I reflect with you on Psalm 40, just out of my own life, that song we sang, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns, it just calls me to put my thoughts and mind on Christ. Psalm 40 invites us to do the same. Let's pray. You, Lord, be magnified in us. Thank you for the joy of a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for past deliverance and help that we can reflect and be grateful for, that builds us with hope for the future. I ask your blessings on the family of God, CBC, and those who may be visiting and online. And grant, O Lord, that through walking with you, we'll see your hand at work, and you'll put a new song in our mouth that we'll sing, and others will fear and worship you. And we pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.